Good morning, everyone. Nice chilly morning for us today. Welcome to the Vines Uniting Church at Woodcroft, for those of you who are here with us this morning, and for those of you who are watching online, welcome to you as well. I'm presuming you probably all know that you can't sing again this morning.
Church, you can go outside now.
You can go to the footy and sing, of course, yes. But we won't talk about that. My hope is that there'll be some singing going on inside. Now, the book of Habakkuk, I don't know how often you read the book of Habakkuk, but it records the prophet placing a couple of complaints before the Lord. His first complaint, which is about violence and injustice and strife and conflict, begins with these words: "How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen?" Would you be game enough to say that to the Lord? And the Lord answers him, gives him an answer. Then Habakkuk makes a second complaint, longer than the first. And the Lord answers again with a longer answer than the first. And the Lord ends the second answer with these words: "But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him." And the final chapter records Habakkuk's prayer to the Lord, which concludes in the NRSV in the following way, and it has this heading: "Trust and joy in the midst of trouble." Here's how Habakkuk's prayer ends: "Though the fig tree does not blossom, and no fruit is on the vines, though the produce of the olive fails, and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold and there is no herd in the stalls," pretty dismal sort of things, "yet I will exult in the Lord. I will exult in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and makes me tread upon the heights." End of prayer. So what's the point? Though there are things happening around the world that present huge challenges, and though for now we can, now this morning, we cannot collectively sing, we can know with certainty that the Lord is present to the holy temples that are our bodies, and keep silence before the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord, exulting in the God of our salvation, the God who is our strength. Let's pray. Father God, we praise you and thank you that in the midst of trouble, any kind of trouble, we can trust you and rejoice in you. Help us, Lord, this morning to collectively respond to your presence in us, to worship you with our bodies, with our hearts, our minds, and to look to you to speak to us, refresh us, renew us. And may we journey with you, Lord, day by day, knowing that you are present to us. Amen. Oh, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, God everlasting through eternity. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the sinful human eye thy glory may not see. Holy, thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky.
Lord of my days, I trust in you. Living beneath the shelter of your wings, my heart safe. When I am lost, you find me. When I'm in need, you shelter me. Lord of my life, you secret place. Hold me in your presence, Lord. Draw me near to you. All my heart I long to give to you. Lord, forever you're my secret place. Lord of my life, I love you. Lord of my days, I trust in you. Living beneath the shelter of your wings, my heart safe. Shelter me, Lord of my life, you are my secret place. Hold me in your presence, Lord, draw me near to you. All my heart I long to give to you. Living to be near you, Lord.
those words of the chorus at the end, but just up again, please. Just in the silence for a moment before we continue, just take in those words, you're my peace, you're my rest, you're my secret place. Lord, we praise you and thank you that in the challenges of life, the challenges of the present day and all that we face, sometimes directly, sometimes indirectly, help us to know your presence deep within us, and that within us is the peace that you have brought to us, the rest that you have brought to us in that secret place of our lives that nothing can break through into. Help us, Lord, to rest in that secret place. Amen. Okay. Psalm 89. We're going to read some of that together. Words are going to be on the screen. Words are on the screen. Let's read together. Our Lord, I will sing of your love forever. Everyone yet to be born will hear me praise your faithfulness. I will tell them God's love can always be trusted, and his faithfulness lasts as long as the heavens. You say, David, my servant, is my chosen one, and this is the agreement I made with him. David, one of your descendants, will always be king. Our Lord, let the heavens now praise your miracles, and let all of your angels praise your faithfulness. None who live in the heavens can compare with you. You are the most fearsome of all who live in heaven. All the others fear and greatly honor you. You are the Lord God of power. No one is as loving and faithful as you are. Amen.
So in our current COVID context, I want you to welcome those around you by turning your head and giving a royal wave or a thumbs up or something you feel appropriate.
A greeting.
After that royal wave, good morning. This morning, we're reading Paul's Ministry of Reconciliation. It comes from the second book of Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 11 to 15. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we try to persuade others, but we ourselves are well known to God, and I hope that we are also well known to your consciences. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you an opportunity to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast in outward appearance and not in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ urges us on. Because we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. This is the word of the Lord.
Okay, so some Dave's dodgy drawings for kids online and for you who are here today.
My favourite part.
So our theme today is the love of Christ compels us. And there's lots of different words. In that scripture reading we heard, it was urges. It could be fuels us, drives us, energizes us, motivates us. I don't know, something like this. So I thought, for the kids at home and for you here, I'm going to draw some things and I'm going to get you to guess what it is that drives, motivates, or fuels these particular things. Should I already got that? All right. So, what do we have here? Truck. What sort of truck? Prime mover. And what in particular gives us the clue? Sorry, I should have done a few legs.
That's a Rolls Royce.
No, it's supposed to be a Mack truck. You know, what's the bulldozer? Oh, the dog, yes. With the front at the back with a little... Okay. So, what fuels trucks? Diesel. All right. Sorry, good. Diesel. All right. Okay. So, what about this next one? Okay. So, it's a drill. Thank you for that down the floor. What fuels or drives a drill? Electrons, electricity. This one's actually a smart... You'll notice what's missing from this drill?
The rechargeable battery.
The cord. So, yes, it's a chargeable battery, so it's actually a charging battery, cordless drill, and so it's a cordless drill. It still needs power, doesn't it? What sort of power do we have? Electricity. Some have solar power on their house. Okay, electricity. All right. What about this next thing? It's really hard, actually, drawing like this, but hey... Okay, oh, sorry, I forgot. That gives it away. So, what is this? Elephant. What fuels elephants? Grass, bananas. Surely bananas, you've seen, been to the zoo, bananas? What else? Okay, so bananas, I always say bananas. I can't spell bananas, so I'll just scribble it. So, okay, grass, all that sort of stuff, all right. So... What I'm going to draw next is, so like this thing, all of us as human beings look a bit better than this, but you know what I mean. So what fuels us as human beings? Food. What other sort of things? Air. Without air, we're dead. Water. Yes. What other things?
Hugs.
Love. Thank you, brother, sister. All right, hugs in our COVID environment can only happen at home. So you at home are very fortunate. Give each other a hug just to show off.
Blood.
Blood, all right, okay. Now we're getting real technical. So, all right, as Christians, dun, 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 what fuels us? What? And so that's the question, kids. So without fuel, trucks don't work. Cordless jewels don't work. Elephants without bananas are just sad. Human beings without this stuff, well, we're in big trouble. But as Christians, what is it that fuels us? Holy Spirit, yep, okay, I like that. Is it Christ? Okay, so Holy Spirit, what other stuff fuels us? Prayer, yep. Love, thank you, yep. I was going to go to you, Sal. You're going to double treat. Grace. So when Paul talks about the thing that urges, fuels, stirs, stimulates, this is some of the stuff for him that is critical. And so today as we think about the things that fuel us as Christians, this is some of the stuff we're going to look at. So kids, I hope you're still with me. And please send me in some of your dodgy drawings today. All right. So I think that's enough from me, unless you've got any other some wonderful information you'd like to share with me. So notices, 31st of July, hopefully we'll still go ahead and COVID will only be a lockdown for a week-ish. So 31st of July, we've got our market, our strawberry fair. Well, remember, we've divided into four across the year, and this is our third. Time flies, you're having fun. Ranella Markets and Marge or Leon, have a chat to those guys. Also, I want to let you know that this week, kids, you're back at school, if you didn't realise that. So that means I'm actually back at PAC this week, so just 1 week, and then I've got a 2 week break, and then I'm back for another couple. But so there was a review that happened a couple of weeks ago, and David and I were going to send you out the report. I didn't quite get there, but we'll send you out a précis of that, and the decision was made that we'd continue to support KI for the rest of the year. So that means I've got about 9 weeks left at PAC to the end of the year. So that's not too bad. That's quite manageable. So hopefully I'll try and get that sorted this week or next to send you out at least a copy of that so you can have a look for yourself. Any other notices I've forgotten? I think it's back over to you, David.
During the remaining songs, just keep in mind you can tap your feet and move in the chair and pick up the beat. And I'll say this very quietly, but you could probably hum as well. And just at this moment, Elaine's brought the offering down for us, so we'll pray for that. Father, we praise you and thank you that you are a giving God, and you have given to us in abundance. And we pray, Lord, that you would take these offerings that are here this morning, the offerings that have been given online, and use them as we continue to seek to serve you in this place and beyond the walls of this building. We pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Pam.
Good morning, all. Once more, we find ourselves in situations where we must be more diligent in our behaviour as we continue to pray for our ever-changing world. We take the time to thank God for the many blessings we have received as we come together to bring our intercessions before him. Let us pray. Dear Lord, during what seems to be the never-ending story of COVID, we pray for success with the vaccines being administered around the world, that they might be more quickly and safely distributed. We've been shown how speedily circumstances can alter, both here and around the globe. And we ask that you help us to be gentle with ourselves as the rules change, especially if we are unable to see those closest to us because of border restrictions, etc. We also ask your blessings on all faithful frontline workers, wherever they may be, Australia-wide and globally, and on all those who continue to provide healthcare in these difficult times. We pause to remember those affected by the disaster of the massive floodings in Europe, especially in Germany, Belgium, and the Netherlands. As they focus now on recovery and rescue, there are many more victims still unaccounted for. Our sympathies go out to the families of the dead and missing. Surround them with your love and give them courage and strength to carry on. Father, we bring to mind those who are challenged by illness, either mental or physical, and for their carers who must learn to adapt almost daily. We pray for those who are homeless or have recently lost loved ones. May they feel your comfort and peace and know you are with them. Let's take a few moments to remember those closest to our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for abundant rains, winter sunshine, and the freedom to worship without fear of reprisals. We know that we've been blessed to live in Australia, free from war and starvation. We bring before you our leaders here and around the world and ask that they might work together unselfishly, respecting each other and putting aside their differences so that they might reach their goals with wisdom and patience. We pray also for your blessing on our church here at the Vines as we adapt once again to the COVID norm. Please continue to guide and sustain us all, especially our Minister David, our worship team, and all others who have felt called to serve you in any way. We ask that they know your encouragement and support as their journey continues. Lord, we do put our faith and trust in you. You are our hope and inspiration. We ask that you help us to be kind to those who are most in need and to ourselves. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Let's pause as we pray. Lord God, we thank you for life. We thank you for the opportunity to gather online and here present to reflect on the words and images and prayers that we've experienced so far today. just ask that you would bless the words that I share in the name of Jesus. Amen. So our theme this week is looking at the love of Christ compels us. And it's the fourth in our living by faith. Just a bit of a recap from last week. Remember we were talking about the nature of faith as being the three F's. Facts, faith, and feeling. And those three words are important to get in the right sequence. And sometimes people put their feelings first. It's like building a house with a roof first. It's just not going to stand. And our feelings are those powerful things that just take us in different directions and make us stop and consider, how is it I got here? So part of what we thought about particularly was God's facts. So what are the facts about your faith that are the foundation of your life? And getting those facts right becomes very important. For example, if one of the facts you want to pick up is, we looked at God's love as a foundational fact. And when we have that as our foundational fact, it gives us the capacity to look at the world and ourselves differently. Now, Paul was really one of these guys who was a compelling character. And I think if we ever met him, we would be left in no doubt just his passions. And how he writes is just very passionate, isn't it? And this is a guy who never met Jesus in the flesh. He wasn't like John or Peter or these other guys who actually spent 3 years with Jesus. He was someone who never met Jesus in the flesh, like us. We haven't met Jesus in the flesh. And yet one of the things that Paul writes is, the love of Christ compels us, urges us. The love that we have for Christ or the love that Christ has for us. So he writes really in a way that sometimes can be a bit confusing. So is Paul saying Christ's love for us compels us or our love for Christ compels us? What is it? Actually, it could be read both ways. It could be read that our love for Christ compels us, but it could also be read Christ's love for us compels us. Now, a number of the commentaries really focus on that being the key point. No doubt that believers' love for Christ motivates their actions, but here Paul is concentrating on an earlier stage of motivation, namely the love shown by Christ in dying for humankind. So Paul is saying, fundamentally, what drives him and the rest of us is God's love for humanity as seen in Christ's death. That makes us different. Now, being different sometimes can be a real point of conflict. I'm not sure, how many people watched or listened to the soccer over the last couple of weeks? European Cup was on. And the British or the English had the saying, bring the cup home. However, the cup went to Rome. So Italy beat the English. And you might have, I was driving to work to here, and there was Italians everywhere with streamers, and they were so excited. And the game was played out in a penalty shootout. After full time, they had two extra times, and still it was 1-1. And so they went to penalty shootouts. Now, you heard my story from last week where I hit the ball so sweetly, it sailed straight over the crossbar. Now, this young fella here is one of the stars of the English soccer cup, whatever you want to call it. I think he's a 19-year-old fella. Him and two other African by generational background, playing for England, they missed. And so these guys were vilified. They were the amount of racism on Facebook just was so overwhelming that the Prime Minister of England, who, you know, UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson, who we know lets everything go, actually decided he had to say something. And he basically said, you know, he's really appalled. You know, our English players should be celebrated as heroes, not vilified. And so, you know, Paul was hated, but, you know, obviously not because of his colour of his skin or for missing a penalty, but Paul was hated. And, you know, if there was Facebook in Paul's time, there would be chat pages just about how much hatred there was towards Paul. He just attracted anger, animosity because of his beliefs that were so overwhelming that he had no fear or favour in to whom he shared that or where he shared that. So we're told in Corinthians that what he did was he went to Jerusalem and decided that he wanted to go to the temple because his whole life he was a Jew. And even as a Christian, maybe there was some connection he wanted to re-explore or maybe to say hello to someone, I don't know. But he went to the Jerusalem temple and was arrested there and spent 2 years in jail because no one really could make up their mind what to do with him. And in one of the attempts where he tried to justify his innocence, one of the governors, new governor to Judea, the governor Festus, requested to meet Paul and with King Agrippa. And as Paul gave his testimony and why he was innocent, the governor said, "You are out of your mind, Paul. Too much learning is driving you insane." That's from Acts chapter 26, if you want to learn any more about that. And basically, he was saying, "You are just so compelled by this stuff. You just need to calm down, take a tablet, do something, because it's just overwhelming you. Too much learning, you're out of your mind, Paul." And that's part of the Corinthian reading, was Paul saying, "Everybody might think I'm mad. That's okay, because I am convinced about something. And I want you to hear my conviction, because it's a conviction for you." So this next slide is the love of Christ compels us. It's quite a nice little image. Paul said that a dead man appeared to him and spoke with him. And Paul went from this Pharisee who had a brilliant career laid out in front of him to a tent maker who spent the rest of his life hiding and appearing and fleeing and getting shipwrecked. And so it's not really, you know, if Paul was trying to sell what it was like to be a Christian preacher or minister or apostle, you know, what could he say with any conviction? All those who were aspiring to be the top of the table would not have been interested. Shipwrecked, getting lowered out of over the walls in a basket, having people chase you and throw stones at you, getting jailed, is not really what you would call a great job reference. But then he continued to talk about this compelling reason, this thing that had gripped him. So why was Paul so impacted by this? You know, we often talk about we will work for a what, but we'll die for a why. So Paul's why was very clear, wasn't it? That experience for Paul was transformative. So Jesus dying on the cross was not some nice theory that applied to some bygone era. It was a powerful, overwhelming impact. So convincing that it just motivated him. So I was reading some commentaries and some references, and one person wrote, "Jesus didn't die a hero. Jesus didn't die a martyr, but the suffering death of Jesus was atoning. Jesus bared the sins of the world. Jesus' death was a redeeming death." So atonement is we become at one with God, atoning, at one-ment with God. So it's a really massive concept to grasp, isn't it? And lots of people don't grasp it. Even as Christians, sometimes we struggle with the idea that Jesus' death is the bridge that connects us or reconnects us with God. The next slide I have is this one. He died for us so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised. So for Paul, even though Paul never met Jesus in the flesh, he was so convinced of this. The next slide just picks up this reading from 1 John. This is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that he might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. You know, it's very fascinating. And where I actually planned to go with this service sermon, I ended up in a totally different place, which is often pretty normal for me when I'm starting a sermon. You think, oh, I'm going to go this way, and you end up over here somewhere, which makes it a very interesting experience for me. If I ever wrote a book, I think I'm not sure where I would end up. But I guess that's part of life, isn't it? But when we think about someone dying for you, you know, I guess there's lots of different emotions that could be generated by that. Now, hands up of you who are planning a wedding anniversary or some other special event in the next few months, because I've got some wisdom to pass on. You see, I took my beloved Ellie to celebrate our wedding anniversary probably 15, 20 years ago. I've done it since then. But first point. Do it regularly. But so we went to the city, had a nice hotel, and we thought, honey, we're going to go to the movies. I said, oh, great. What are we going to see? So there's this great new movie out. It's called Saving Private Ryan. Has anybody seen that movie?
Yeah.
It is my advice, do not watch that movie for your anniversary. It's hard enough watching it any time. We were so traumatized and triggered for the rest of the weekend. We just, it was a waste. But anyway, the reason I came across this movie was, again, just as I was thinking about this whole atonement and someone dying for someone else. Now, if you haven't seen the movie, I'm going to have to give you some spoiler alerts. I'm going to give it away, all right? So it's probably not a bad thing because it's about the Normandy beach landing, so it's pretty horrendous. But anyway, the movie opens with an older man walking amongst the tombstones of one of the big American cemeteries. And he goes to find this tombstone of someone, and you see him reflecting with his family deeply on this tombstone. And we know nothing about why the person's there or what's happening. And so the story then unfolds from there. And it's about a mother who has four sons who all joined the war, Second World War. And in the Normandy landing, two are killed, and then one is missing. And so out of four sons, three are presumed dead. And so there's a particular... the Americans actually had a process where if there were four sons and three are killed, then they actually try and save the remaining son and get them out of theater so that the family has one, at least, son left. So the plot is this group of soldiers land on Normandy Beach and manage to get up there. And Tom Hanks is Captain Miller, and he is the one who's given the order to find this Private Ryan. And they don't know where Private Ryan is because he parachuted into Europe. So they've got no idea. So the rest of the movie is hard-fought, gruesome at times, trying to find this soldier. And eventually, after they lose a number of soldiers on the way, they find this guy. And as they're talking to each other, there they are, there, Tom Hanks the other actor, Matt Damon, thank you. Yes, and so the one on the right is Private Ryan, and Captain Miller's on the left. And as they're talking, they're attacked by Germans, and then Captain Miller is shot and is dying. And in his last breaths, He grabs Prophet Ryan, pull him close and says, earn it. Earn it. So what does that mean? What does earn it mean? The movie then cuts back to the old man standing, and we realize it's Prophet Ryan. He's standing in front of the tombstone of Captain Miller, and he looks at his wife and he says, tell me I've led a good wife, a life. Tell me I've been a good man. Tell me I've earned it. And it just struck me powerfully that as the movie closed, it had the American flag, picture of all the headstones, and the earn it was just a powerful reminder to the American, and I guess for all of us. But what it really struck me was that, you know, when we talk about, yeah, what would it have been like for Private Ryan to become Mr. Ryan and then for the rest of his life feel he had to earn the right to be alive? That everything he had to do was balanced against this other person's death. Have I done enough? Am I good enough? So at the end of the movie, he's still struggling. Tell me I've been a good man. Tell me I've lived up to this death and sacrifice someone else has given me. It just struck me such a different response. The Apostle Paul, someone died for him. But his approach was different in the sense that he didn't feel like he had to earn it, but it was something that compelled him, that gave him life and energy and verve, fuel. And that's a big difference, I think. There was no guilt associated with Jesus' death, or there should not be. The compulsion for us is God's love, God's acceptance, God's desire for us to experience all there is to experience about being loved. And the sacrifice is not something that somehow we beat ourselves up with and somehow have to prove our worth, but rather that dynamic energy that says, I'm so grateful. Grace, life, hope. The next slide picks up, and I guess it's very close. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And I think that's part of where this becomes personal for us. Because as we picked out on our board, you know, Holy Spirit, prayer, love, grace. They're the things that come into us and fuel us. And that's the dynamic. So we in many ways become Christ. So it's not like somehow we have to earn the right to be a Christian, but that Christ lives in us. And through that one death, it becomes millions of impact. God's light shining through our cracked vessels to give us hope. Love that stems from Jesus' death for us. Bob Wilkin asks a simple question. What am I living for? Well, that's an appropriate question. The most important question is, who am I living for? Who am I living for? So next slide is always what I think is very important whenever someone's preaching or talking. So what? I've shared a lot of different words, a lot of different images, a few stories, not so many jokes today, but so what? And I guess that's really the question lots of people have to ask with Jesus. So what? Who is Jesus? Who am I living for? And what does that look like? How do I live my life in a way that empowers and helps others to maybe catch some of this glimpse of life and love and hope? Because in the end, Christianity is about hope and love and life, not about shame and guilt and judgment. It's not about earning it. We cannot earn it. It is called a gift we are given to share for others. So, last words for this slide. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. My question for you is, are you able to surprise someone this week with love. Is it a phone call, a coffee, a walk, an other? I'm not sure what it means with COVID restrictions. I don't know. Be creative. I don't know. I'm going to give you a moment just to think about what you're connecting with from today. Holy Spirit, continue to stir and energize us with your love that we can share with others in whatever creative ways we can think of. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thanks, mate. Amen.
I wondered with David's slide of the so what, whether that was one of his baby photos.
Too much hair, I think.
It would be good also if I had the right piece of music in front of me. Yeah, all right.
Father, into your courts I will enter, maker of heaven and earth. I tremble in your holy presence. Glory, glory in your sanctuary, splendor and majesty, Lord, before you all life adores you, all the earth will declare that your love is everywhere. The fields will exult, seas resound. Hear the trees' joyful cry, praising you, and so will I. New song I'll sing, Lord, I will glorify and bless your holy name. Father, into your courts I will enter, maker of heaven and earth. I tremble and majesty, Lord, before you all life adores you, all the earth will declare that your love is everywhere. Fields will exult, seas resound. The trees' joyful cry, praising you, and so will I. New song I'll sing, Lord, I will glorify your name. All the earth will declare that your love is everywhere. Hear the trees' joyful cry, praising you, and so will I. New song I'll sing, Lord, I will glorify and bless your name. Glorify and bless your name. Glorify and bless your holy name. Thank you.
There's two more pieces of music for this morning's service. The first is the benediction, and the second you've heard before, but we're going to sing it together to send us all on our way. But firstly, the benediction.
Jesus Christ was crucified for everyone. Everyone has been crucified, and we no longer live. Christ lives in us. We live by the faith of Christ. One who died and was raised, Christ's love urges us on. Father, bless us as we go.
Jesus, bless us as we go. Holy Spirit, guide us. Holy Spirit, guide us. Jesus, bless us as we go.
Next week.